Turn your Bibles this morning to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15, we're reading two verses, verses 1 and 2 of Exodus 15. And if you found Exodus chapter 15, if you'll please stand, as we do every Sunday in honor of reading of God's Word. Exodus chapter 15, I'll read verse number 1 if you'll join with me on verse number 2 of Exodus chapter 15, starting verse number 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. And let's pray this morning. Again, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. As we come this Sunday, I pray that we would put our minds and our thought to what you have for us. A lot of things going on. I pray that you would put those aside. Heavenly Father, we need your Holy Spirit power. Meet with us again this Sunday. I pray you'd bless in this special. In your name we pray. Amen.
I am not worthy the least of his favor, but Jesus left heaven for me. The Word became flesh, and he died as my Savior, forsaken on dark Calvary. I am not worthy, this dull tongue repeats it. I am not worthy, this heart gladly beats it. Jesus left heaven to die in my place. What mercy, what love, and what grace. I am not worthy the least of his favor, but in the Beloved I stand. Now I'm an heir with my wonderful Savior, and all things are mine at his hand. I am not worthy, this dull tongue repeats it. I am not worthy, this heart gladly beats it. Jesus left heaven to die in my place. What mercy, what love, and what grace. I am not worthy the least of his favor, but he is preparing a place where I shall dwell with my glorified Savior, forever to look on his face. I am not worthy, this dull tongue repeats it. I am not worthy, this heart gladly beats it. Jesus left heaven to die in my place. What mercy, what love, and what grace.
Great song. Thank you, brother. Scott, I appreciate that good song this morning. I want to draw your attention to verse number 2 in the passage we read with Brother Mike just a moment ago. Now they're singing, and Moses and the children of Israel sing, the Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. And I want to speak to you for a moment on that little phrase this morning, my Father's God. My Father's God. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege to be in church this morning. And would you come and please speak to our hearts today, oh God, please. We don't, as Brother Stone just sang, we don't deserve any favors from you or any mercies. We have no merit on our own. that you would do us any kindness. But we know that you are a God of kindness, and we know that you show kindness to your people. And so I pray that you, out of mercy and kindness to us, meet with us this morning and draw our attention to the passage in front of us, and or may we glean from it a little bit just to help us, encourage us today. Thank you for the dads, and especially would you speak to the fathers' hearts this morning. And God, I need your help as we go through these few minutes, please, in Jesus' name. And amen. Music and song has always played a role in the celebration of victory. I mean, here you have it recorded here in Exodus chapter 15, way back, if you will, how many thousands of years ago. And, you know, still to this day, music and song play a big role when people want to celebrate a victory. My mind, when I think about that, I immediately think about the Olympic Games and how they have the medal ceremony. And, of course, the third place finisher, the brass, the brass winner, the bronze winner, he's here. And the silver winner, the podium he's on is a little bit taller. And then the gold medal winner, he gets to stand or she gets to stand on that highest, a little platform, taller than the other two. And one song is played, and that's the national anthem of the gold medal winner. And like you, we have observed many times as those gold medal winners stand there and hear the national anthem being played, the tears come down their cheeks. And it's part of the celebration of victory. Music helps the soul express victory and celebration. So it's no wonder that Moses and the children of Israel broke out into song as they stood on dry ground on the safe side of the Red Sea while the Egyptian army floated on the water, drowned, and defeated. There was like a spontaneous celebration, and why not? It hadn't been too long ago that the children of Israel stood on the unsafe side of the Red Sea with Pharaoh's army, if you will, breathing down their neck, and what had seemed like certain defeat eventually became a celebration of victory and song, and it seemed the appropriate thing to do to express how they felt. So they broke out in song, and you see a little bit of what their song contained. The entire 15th chapter, just about, not the entire chapter, but probably half of it, includes the song of Moses and the victory song that they sang. And we see how it began in verses 1 and 2. I will sing unto the Lord, by the way. That's what you ought to do every time we gather for a worship service. You're not singing for your neighbor as much as you are singing for the Lord. Amen. And boy, you know, I was thinking today, sometimes, and all of us are guilty of it, but those hymns, those old hymns, they contain such good, good teaching. And that song we were singing, My Anchor Holds on My Bark So Small and Frail, By His Grace I Shall Not Fail. What good words. You know, squeeze the juice out of that when you go through it, okay? And sing to the Lord. So they say, we're going to sing to the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. They realized who had given the victory. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. That's the Egyptian army. They're dead. The Lord is my strength and song, and He has become my salvation. He is my God. They're singing, and I will prepare Him an habitation. And then their song had these words in it, these lyrics, my Father's God, and I will exalt Him. So in the song that the children of Israel, the Hebrews, are singing with Moses, Miriam, and Aaron, they sing those words, my Father's God. This song of praise and celebration had the God of heaven as its object, His worship, His praise, His exaltation. And they sang about their Father's God. Now, since this is Father's Day, I thought it good to preach about some things that were related especially to dads. And so I will this morning, but I hope everybody can get a blessing out of it to some degree. I'll promise you, this is not a deep theological message this morning. We're going to skim the surface, okay? Just going to skim the surface. I have two thoughts for us today. That's all. Let me give them to you today as they relate to Father's Day and this passage where they sang about my Father's God. I want you to, number one, I want to make this statement. Moses had a father who followed God. Moses had a father who followed God. Now, you know, you remember Mom, you remember Moses' dad and Mom? Amram and Jochebed. They had a living real faith in Jehovah God and what a difference faith in a real living God makes in a home. What a difference. You remember the circumstances of Moses' birth, right? There was a new Pharaoh in the land of Egypt who didn't know Joseph. Joseph had been down there for years, and the previous Pharaoh had made him second in command. And Pharaoh was blessed because of Joseph, the whole land was, and all that business. But now a new Pharaoh's arisen, and he doesn't know Joseph. And he feels threatened by the children of Israel. So then those Hebrew people, their families are growing, and they're birthing babies, and they're growing in number. And if we don't do something about it, they're going to outnumber us, and they're going to turn on us someday in a war and capture our land. So he made an executive order. Does that sound familiar? To have all the Hebrew boy babies put to death. Put them all to death. Told all the midwives, make sure you kill all the Hebrew. Egyptian babies live. Hebrew boy babies die. You're going to reduce the army. Take the numbers away. And so that went out over the land. The little babies began to die. And Amram and Jochebed had just given birth to Moses. Aaron and Miriam already born. Just given birth to Moses, that third child. And in Exodus chapter 2, the Bible says that they saw he was a proper child. He's a good little boy, a proper child, and they went to great lengths to protect their little boy. And they made an ark of bulrushes. It was prepared, completely, carefully prepared so that it would float and not take in water. And then Moses was carefully placed in that little waterproof basket, and he was hidden there among the reeds that were growing on the bank of the Nile River. You remember that? And Miriam, his older sister, stayed over, hidden behind some trees or behind some foliage, evidently, just to see what would happen to the little guy. She was kind of assigned to watch over him. And I want to tell you something, friend. That took some exceptional trust in God on behalf of Amram and his wife to do that. Exceptional trust in God. And, you know, and then, you know the story. Pharaoh's daughter comes down to the river to take the bath, and the entourage comes with her. And somebody in the group spies that little ark. And somebody in the group fetches that little ark, and they lift the little lid off that basket, and here's a baby, a little boy baby. And immediately, they know what's happened. This is one of the Hebrews' children, one of the Hebrew boys. And the parents, you know, dad's given this crazy order to have all the boy babies executed, and this Hebrew family doesn't want their boy to be executed, so they've made a little basket and waterproofed it and put it here in the Nile River. And you know how the story turned out. Miriam comes running over and says, hey, would you like for me to call one of the Hebrew mothers to nurse the child and so forth and take care of it? Sure, go get me a mother. Well, Miriam ran and got mom. Moses was reared there and by his mother until he was weaned and taken off to Pharaoh's palace. You know how that happened. Now, here was a man who took great care and effort to protect his child from a culture that did not recognize or worship Jehovah God. Took great care. Yet this father was not only saved, but this father was committed to follow his God and to protect his children, and he went to great lengths to do it. Now, you know, I mentioned we know Moses ended up in Pharaoh's palace, so eventually Moses was reared in the seat, if you will, of the leadership of a culture that worshipped animals, basically the cow god. You say, Pastor, what good did it do for Amram to go to great lengths to protect his kid from the godless edict of Pharaoh to have all the Hebrew boys murdered? What good did it do? Moses ended up in Pharaoh's palace anyway. That's true. Can't deny it. That's what happened. But I want to tell you something. That choice to do something different, that choice to defy a culture that was anti the principles of God, that choice that was to go against the stream, if you will, to go God's way, to try to keep the kids locked in to the real God, that choice most certainly was an influence later on in Moses' life, even though it was probably made before Moses even realized what was happening. Because later on, in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 through 26, the Bible tells us that when Moses came of age, He chose to identify with God. Isn't that interesting? And God's people rather than the people of Egypt. Now friend, you reckon that choice by Amram way back when Moses was a little lad, too young to even know what was going on. But through the years of time, he hears that story when he meets with Aaron and Miriam. And when he sits down and Miriam maybe reminds him, Moses, don't you ever forget that you're a Hebrew, that you were birthed by Hebrew parents, and mom and dad went to great lengths to do something to protect your life while all the other Hebrew boys were dying. They went to great lengths to protect you. They tried to follow God and to honor the sanctity of life. And they went to great lengths to keep you apart from a godless culture. Don't you ever forget that. You ever reckon by the time Moses got to be 40 and made the choice to identify with God's people, don't you reckon that choice Amram made 40 years earlier played some influence in Moses' life? Yeah, sure it did. Oh, the blessings of a dad who's saved. Oh, the blessings of a dad who not only is saved, but who chooses God and chooses God's way and chooses God's Word and chooses God's will. Oh, the blessings of a dad like that. Did you have a dad like that? Do you have a dad like that? I hope you get in touch with them today if you can. Hope you thank them for rearing you and your brothers or sisters possibly in the way of God and going against the stream sometimes, if you will, swimming upstream to follow God and follow God's Word and follow God's way and follow God's will. Oh, the blessings of a dad who is saved. I want to say this morning that dads are human. And the best of dads use poor judgment sometimes. And the best of dads make poor decisions. And sometimes us dads, we act after the flesh. But if you had a saved dad who made or makes decisions with his faith in mind, be thankful he had more of an influence on you than you may realize. A saved dad. We flew in this morning, my wife and I, from South Carolina. If I'm a little bit loopy in the service, we had to get up at 2:30 to make all that happen. But really, I feel pretty good right now. It's what's coming later that's going to be bad. You want to see it really gets interesting? Show up for the service tonight. We'll be having a fun time. But my aunt and uncle celebrated. There was a twofold purpose to the trip. It was a very quick trip. We left Thursday midday and flew to Greenville, South Carolina. My aunt and uncle celebrated their 50th anniversary yesterday. And in Atlanta, where they live, right where Bill and Joyce Smith live now, in Loganville, Georgia, right by there. And so we wanted to go to that 50th anniversary, and then I found out that we thought about going, but it's a weekend. Well, then I found out that my brother Tim was picking Dad and Mom up, and Tim and his wife Julie were driving Mom and Dad up to Tim's house in South Carolina there, and going to be there, and then they were going to drive down to Atlanta for the 50th celebration. I said, honey, it's Father's Day weekend, and I'd like to spend it, not the whole weekend, but I just want to take every opportunity I can to see Dad. We'll take every opportunity I can. So we flew down on Thursday. Actually, Kim Arnold, she was flying down to see Matthew and Alexandra. She sat with us on the plane. Joyce and Kim had a good time talking. I had my ears plugged listening to stuff on the iPod, so I don't know what they said. But anyway, they had quite a time jabbering, so it was good. And we got there Thursday evening to Tim's house in Florida and in South Carolina, and then we spent Friday together, just the six of us, and then we drove over to Atlanta, and we had a good time with my aunt and uncle. But I went to see YT and Patsy, but probably the greater reason was just to see Dad. I'm thankful for my dad. He's slipping a little bit. Some of y'all know that. And probably a little bit more than even when they were here for Cherish graduation just a month ago. I'm just thankful for a dad that followed God. We didn't have a perfect home. Nobody does. My own son, oldest son, stood here in this pulpit, was it what, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago? And he said about us, he said, we didn't have it. He said, I didn't grow up in a perfect home. That's honest. That's reality. We didn't have a perfect home, but I had a dad who had the will of God in mind. He didn't make every decision right. If he were to stand to give a testimony this morning, he would say the same thing. I'll tell you what, when it came to the big decisions in life, Dad had the will of God in his mind. You know, Dad could have followed money. Dad could have followed promotions. There's nothing wrong with that. There were opportunities for Dad to follow the promotion and follow the money, but it would have meant moving and moving his family, and he could have followed the materialism, and there's nothing wrong with things. Nothing at all wrong with that whatsoever, but he could have given his life to it. And I'll tell you what my dad gave his life to. He gave his life to his wife. He gave his life to his three boys. He gave his life to his family. He gave his life to his work. He gave his life to following his God. You know, I regret that I didn't appreciate that till much later in life. But I want to tell you, once I got saved, my eyes were quickly opened to how blessed I was as a boy to have that kind of dad. A dad who followed God. Has your dad made a mistake or two along the way? What dad hasn't? Has your dad made a poor choice or two along the way? It'll make a dad that doesn't do that. Well, you look over the bulk of your dad's life and you look over the body of his work, if you will, as a child of God. If you've had a dad who followed God and made decisions according to God's way and made decisions according to God's will and made decisions according to God's Word, it probably had a greater impact on your life than what you realize. We sat there yesterday in the little church fellowship hall there in Loganville, Georgia, and my aunt and uncle, people were coming in, and my cousins were there. There was only five of us three boys and two girls on my mother's brother's side. And I just got to thinking. I knew I was going to be preaching about this, and my dad was there, and I got to thinking about the influences of saved dads just visible in that room right there. Here's my brother, Tim, and his wife. And Tom's wife, Tom, who's now in heaven, his wife, Lisa, came, and she just got married about a month ago, I'm guessing 3-4 weeks ago, and she brought her husband down. And that was a little different, I got to tell you, but it was okay. And we had a good time, and I appreciate him. His name is Mike. But I remember, here's my wife and me, and here's Tim and his wife, and here's Tom and his wife, Tom's wife, and now Tom's in heaven. But, you know, the accumulated years of marriage there are many. And then here's my uncle celebrating his 50th anniversary with his wife. Next year will be 60 years for my mother and dad. And here's his daughter, Amy, and her husband. And you can see the influence of his dad and his life. In fact, his dad was there celebrating with us, Dewey Stroop. And then here's my cousin, Melanie, and her husband's dad, Shelton Smith, the editor of The Sword of the Lord, Martin Smith, he was there. I just looked at young man after man after man after man, now, you know, married for some years with children, some grown, some of those children married. And boy, it just dawned on me, oh, the influence of a saved dad. Who not only was saved, but who followed God. Who sought God's will and sought God's way and sought God's Word. And you know, boys and girls, I'm talking to you now, those of you, and I say boys and girls, I'm talking about teenage young men and college-age young ladies and college-age young men, teenage and boys and girls, elementary school age. You know, if you have a saved dad, a dad who follows God, a dad who believes God's Word to be true, a dad who considers God and considers God's Word as he tries to lead the family, you got a dad that follows God, I hope you're thankful for him. Hope you're not bent out of shape at him. I hope you're not pressing the envelope. And I hope you don't try to push him to back away from his commitment to God. And you have no idea how helpful it is for you and your family to have a dad who follows God. Follows God. So I'm just preaching for dads this morning. I'm saying to all the wives and the children in the room, Is your husband your dad this morning? Is he a dad that follows God? Thank God for the influence of a dad who follows God, who follows the Lord. And I want to say this morning to all the boys and girls that are members of Faith Baptist Church. You listen very carefully to what I'm about to say. I preach a lot of messages from this pulpit. You sit in here, many of you, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, you hear those messages. And sometimes I preach things that maybe your dad doesn't take home. Maybe he doesn't incorporate it into exactly the way I preach it, into your family's way of life. I want to say to you boys and girls, listen very carefully. That's no cause for you to disrespect or think less of your dad. You love him. You obey him. You honor him, and you thank God for him. He's your dad. And you got a dad that follows God. Brother, I want to tell you something. You got a blessing. You got a huge blessing. A huge blessing. Sometimes dads even get off the beaten path themselves, and they wind around for a few years, and then lo and behold, their eyes are opened, and the Spirit of God puts them right back on the right road, and you know, sometimes you might be tempted to, well, Dad, what about all those years? No. You got a dad who today is trying to follow God. Oh, you ought to be grateful. You ought to be thankful. And be happy for a dad that follows God. Moses had a dad who followed the Lord, who followed God. Then I want to say this, number two, this morning. This is the last thing I'm going to say. It'll take me a few minutes to say it. Don't get your hopes up, okay? Take me a few minutes to say it. But I want to say this, Moses followed the same God his father followed. Moses followed the same God his father followed. Moses says here in this song, my father's God. There was a day when Amram gave his approval to put his son in that little ark and place him in the reeds on the bank of the Nile River. There was a day when Amram had to watch his own son go to live in Pharaoh's house. Now, I'm sure that Amram had no idea how it would all turn out. You know, people are pretty much the same. People are today pretty much the same as they were years and years ago. You know, Amram probably worried some. He probably was anxious. Maybe he was a little bit doubtful. Maybe he was fearful at times. Maybe there were times when Amram was overwhelmed as a dad. How is this going to turn out? How is my son going to ever follow the Lord? But I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. God came through for Amram. And I want to say to those of us that are dads this morning, you know, not only did God come through for Amram, but God came through for Moses. You know, God said to Moses, go to Egypt and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And then the plagues came. And then the Passover lamb. And then the deliverance from the night that the death angel, the Lord, passed over. And then the experience in the Red Sea. Let me ask you a question. You reckon Moses ever had any doubts? You reckon Moses ever had any anxieties? You reckon Moses ever had any worries? You suppose that Moses ever wondered, how is this all going to turn out? How am I going to lead this group of people? But now, standing on the safe side of the Red Sea, he sees the providential hand of God in his life, and he realizes, you know what? I follow the same God my dad followed. And my God worked everything out for Dad. And I wonder if Moses thought, you know, God's going to work everything out for me. Amen. His saved dad, his born again dad, Amram, following God, things had worked out. And no doubt when he had worries and doubts and anxieties. And the same was true in Moses' life. And I'm just simply getting to my point this morning. And I have a little bit of a fuzzy time getting there. But here's what I want to say to the dads who are trying to follow God in this room. Your dad had worries. And your dad had anxieties. And your dad had fears. And your dad had heartaches. And your dad had disappointments. The same type fears and worries and anxieties and heartaches and disappointments you have. I want to say to us men this morning, God pulled through for our dads And God will pull through for us. He'll pull through for us. You won't choose right every time. You won't make every decision perfectly. You won't use correct judgment every time. Neither did your dad or mine. But God helped them. And friend, I serve the same. I serve my Father's God. The God who helped my dad will help me. Your father trusted your God? Do the same. Your God did for your father, and your God will do for you. It's not simple being a dad in today's world. There is a lot of influence from an unbelieving world, and believe it or not, uncommitted believers. But you trust the God of your Father. You say, Brother Angel, I'm afraid I won't do everything just right. I'm afraid I won't make every choice right. You can put your fears to rest. You won't. Neither do I. But we follow God the best we can, and we trust Him, and our God helped our dads, and our God will help us as well. My Father's God. Now, I know what I'm who I'm preaching to this morning. I know that I'm preaching to some of you who didn't have a saved dad. You didn't have a saved dad. But now you're a saved dad. You're a saved dad. Follow God, and your kids will talk someday of their father's God. You follow Him. You know, and this is more than true about just Greg Payne, but I think about Greg when I come to something like this, and I think about how God saved him out of that crazy, crazy life, some 1982, 1983. He didn't have a saved dad. But he set out to follow God. Has he made some mistakes? He's a human. I'm sure he has. Has he made every decision right? Probably not. Did he make every right judgment? Did he make every judgment discernment correctly? He has a sin nature. I doubt it. But overall, he's tried to follow God. And you know what? Now his kids can talk about my Father's God. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you didn't have a saved dad. You say, Brother Terry, I can't look back to a dad who was saved and talk about my Father's God because my dad was unsaved. Maybe he's still unsaved. Yes, but now you're saved and you set out to follow God and you honor God the best you can and you do your best in this life to follow God's way, God's will, God's word. And you know what? Someday your kids will be talking about their dad's God. Their dad's God. And maybe there's a dad here today who's not saved. And you should get saved. Because I want to tell you something, men. The greatest gift you can leave your children is not a large amount of inheritance in the bank. The greatest gift you can leave your children is not a huge house or two or three. The greatest gift you can leave your children is the testimony of a father who had a God in heaven. That's the greatest thing you can leave your kids. And if you're not saved this morning, I would encourage you to come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, because the greatest gift you can give your children is a born-again dad. I don't care if your kids are grown now and have married kids of their own. It's never too late for a father to get saved who is unsaved. A saved dad. I was thinking about yesterday again. Let me go back to that and finish with that. And please forgive me for being a little bit personal this morning, but it's kind of been on my mind. And I've said before, you know, here's my mom, and here's my uncle, just the two of them. And their dad wasn't saved until after 50-something years of age. An alcoholic who had to be kept from jumping out of a motel window in Alabama, suffering the delirious tremens, stick his hospital equipment wears in the back of his automobile and drive from hospital to hospital through the Southland selling those hospital equipment and getting the cash And before he got back to Atlanta on Friday night or Saturday morning, be all drunk up. No money. Saturated in alcohol. Terrible temper. And that's how my mother and my uncle grew up. And then, through God's grace and God's mercy, and a praying wife, not too many years before he died, old Paul Paul got saved. And buddy, you talk about a testimony. Now let me show you something. After he got saved, he so gave himself to following God that really all my mom and uncle talk about is those few years that he was saved, as opposed to those many years where he was lost. That's amazing to me. To find things about Paul that are negative, you have to ask. You have to ask questions. You know what they're going to talk about? They're going to talk about him ushering at the church and handing out the bulletins and whistling and greeting people and happy. They're going to talk about him being at the man's prayer breakfast on Saturday morning and being a happy Christian. But that was only just a brief time in his life. But folks, that little brief period of being saved and following God made such an impact and influence on my mom and uncle. The other stuff is forgotten. I want to tell you, if you're lost this morning and apart from God, and you say, you know, I don't have anything to offer my children in the way of that because I'm too old, it's too late. It's never too late to give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and start following God. And it's amazing what God will do with those years that you give to follow Him. God can magnify and God can multiply the influence of those years and decrease the influence of the lost years if you just start following God. There's never a time, never too late to start. Never too late to start. Never too late. So they break out into song and they sing about my Father's God. I'm thinking about Moses, and Moses had a God, had a father who followed God. And now after all these years, 80 years now, Moses is over 80 years of age at this point in time, he can follow the same God his dad followed. So Dad, when you start to get a little bit overwhelmed, just look back. You have a dad who followed God, God came through for your dad, and God's going to come through for you. If you're not saved today, you're not living for God, it's never too late to start. The greatest thing you can give your people, the people you love, is a testimony that you followed God. My Father's God. Let's pray together this morning. Thank you for listening. I appreciate your patience and stumbled through a portion of that this morning, but I hope the gist of it, the Spirit of God was able to take the meat of the message and get it across to your heart today. I just wanted to preach to the dads today and try to encourage you a little bit. Oh, my Father's God. My Father's God. Now, I wonder who's in the room today would say, Pastor, I'm saved and I know it. If I died right now, I'd go to heaven. I'm sure of it because I have been saved. We're talking to dads, moms, boys, girls, teenagers, single folks, doesn't matter, married, single, all ages, visitors, members. I'm saved and I know it. I'm a born-again child of God and I can raise my hand as a testimony of that. Would you slip your hand in the air if you can make that testimony this morning? That's wonderful. It's a great testimony. Thank you. I appreciate it. Appreciate it. Now, let me ask dads this morning, specific dads. I wonder through this very shallow, practical, on-the-surface message about my Father's God, I wonder if God spoke to your heart in some way. You've been a little bit discouraged as a dad. Follow God. Follow the same God your dad followed if you had a saved dad. God came through for your dad. In times as difficult as you live in, and God came through for your dad, when he didn't do everything just right, God will come through for you. You had a saved dad at home. It's a great influence on you. Wonder what dads here, first of all, this morning would say, Pastor, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. It's a simple message, but the Spirit of God spoke to my heart about something specific. Would you raise a hand this morning, dads, in the room today? God bless you. I appreciate that. Thank you. Take your hands down. Now, to all of us this morning, you have a saved dad. Are you grateful? Are you thankful? Don't dwell on the negative. Don't dwell on the poor decision, the mistake. Do you have a saved dad who pretty much gave himself to follow God? Be thankful for that. I'm going to say, Pastor, during that part of the message, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. I'm so thankful I have a saved or had a saved dad, the influence on my life. And it was a good reminder of it this morning. Would you raise your hand today in the room? God bless you. I appreciate that. Now, let me ask this question. Is there somebody here today who would say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved? I know I preach to unsaved dads, possibly, but let's talk to everybody. Husbands, wives, single people, old and young, are you saved? Brother Angel, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Pray for me. I'm not sure where I'll spend eternity. Would you slip your hand in the air this morning if you're not sure that you're saved? Anybody like that in the crowd today? I'm not sure that I am saved. I don't know where I'm going to spend eternity. Pray for me, Pastor, when you close your prayer just a moment. Anybody like that? Anybody unsure? Anybody unsettled? God bless you. Amen. Now, if you're here this morning, you've been saved, you know you need to be baptized and follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Maybe you came for that purpose this morning, or you want to obey the Lord, and now's the time for you to come and come to the front. The men will help you get ready to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Come when the music begins. If you've been saved and you need to be obedient to Christ in the matter of baptism, I hope that you'll follow Him obediently today. Our Father in heaven, we're glad today for Your Word and what it speaks to our hearts about. And Lord, I thank You for the text that Moses sang, "My Father's God." Lord, thank You for dads who follow God, who follow You. Lord, give them courage and strength to do that. And then, Lord, thank You that we can follow the same God our dads followed. Help us to be faithful to do that and to be a good testimony and influence for our family's sake and those that we love. Bless anybody here who's unsaved. Bless anybody here who needs to be obedient in the matter of following You, believers' baptism. God, speak to hearts about these matters, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Let's stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to have the ladies play. Would you step out and come this morning? If God spoke to your heart, you raised a hand. Maybe you want to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Would you come today while we wait? We'll take a minute to pray and thank God for your dad if necessary this morning. Or dad, make a decision to wholeheartedly follow the Lord. Start a new course. Would you come today? My Father's God. He had a God. He had a Father who followed God. He could follow the same God his dad followed. While we wait, you come this morning. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you.